بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الأطهار، لا سيما أمام الحجة المهدي أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. Dear viewers, brothers and sisters in faith in the Walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, thank you for joining us for another brief episode of Treasures from Usul al-Kafi, the program in which we examine the gems of the Imams of Ahl al-Bayt as recorded in Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni's text al-Kafi, particularly in the first two volumes, the Book of Usul al-Din. In the previous episodes, we discussed both Aql and Ilm, and said that to some extent, these two words, although interchangeable, especially in earlier texts, acquire a somewhat finer distinction. Aql in particular, although it's more modern, in a more modern way, defined as being intellect or reason, we find that it also has the meaning of being the intuition or awareness that we are endowed with by our Creator, and that it is guided by ilm, and said that ilm, knowledge, is really the fuel for aql. And the same definition would apply just as well, even if we accept a more modern, relatively speaking, definition of aql, meaning reason or intellect, that our intellects need to be guided by knowledge, and that on their own they're insufficient to distinguish fine detail, that we know that we have a God and that he might be obeyed or disobeyed, but not the precise details of how we're to go about doing that. And we said that this is where the subject of ilm, of knowledge, comes into play. Ilm, we said, could be generally defined as knowledge, and there's no particular problem with this definition, inshallah, and that ilm is something that we acquire through various ways in life. We talked about the meaning of knowledge in its more general and unrestricted sense, and said that when we examine texts from an Islamic academic perspective, that we can look at them through the science of language in ways that are both general and specific, or restricted or unrestricted, and so on and so forth. Today we're going to look, inshallah, at the more restricted or specific meaning of ilm, in this case meaning the narrations and reports that are given to us or transmitted to us through history from our blessed and sinless imams, peace be upon them all. By seeking knowledge from the imams, the goal is that we purify our hearts by drinking from the purified spring of the words of Ali Muhammad, peace be upon them all, and the words of our holy imams. This knowledge concerns a variety of different topics, whether they are dealing with beliefs, such as what we find in Usul al-Kafi, or in Basar al-Darajat of al-Safar, or other texts, as well as Bihar al-Anwar and other things, or whether we're dealing with things primarily concerning fiqh, or religious law and other sciences. We know that in this case, although with other forms of knowledge we may seek them from other places, that religious knowledge in particular must be acquired only through the pathways that lead to the pure imams, and through them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are required to seek their knowledge in our daily religious affairs and obligations. This knowledge could include things like knowledge of the Quran, or even knowledge from their narrations about how to examine their narrations, and also addresses both the outward meaning of texts as well as the inward meaning of texts. Taking the example of the Quran, we find that even if we look deep into the Quran, the most that we'll be able to come away with, independently of the imams or of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, is the outer meaning or the most apparent level of the text. We may be able to look and see that we have, for instance, some information about why a particular verse was revealed, or when a particular verse was revealed, although even we find there are disputes about this particular subject in numerous texts, that the batin, the inner meaning, the inward meaning of the text, that may have many different levels, is something that we can only gain through the imams. As one of the imams famously said, the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, everything that comes from outside of this house is falsehood. Now, of course, we don't mean that everything in the sense of 2 plus 2 equals 4, or 4 plus 4 equals 8, and this kind of thing, are false. Although we would find, if we asked, that even these things, perhaps they come to us in some other way through the imams. But specifically, here we're looking at a more restricted meaning of the text that means the religious knowledge that we need to function. This knowledge includes subjects about God and the way that he requires us to worship him. We see in our lives, actually, that one of the major conflicts, and for one of the major reasons that we find division or misguidance in the Muslim Ummah, is because people seek to worship God through their own ways of worship, through their own ideas of God, and knowing God in the way that they want to know God, rather than in knowing God in the way that God requests that we know him and approach him and seek a means of nearness, a wasiya, towards him, and that this can only be accomplished through the imams. This knowledge would also extend to subjects such as knowledge of the grave and accounting, because all of us, as much as we seek to avoid this topic, know that at one day, that day will be our last. And at that point, we will be put in the grave and we will be questioned. One of the things we'll be questioned about is the extent to which we applied the knowledge that we have, whether it's knowledge of something as basic as the fact that we need to pray, did we do it, or other forms of knowledge. In the same way that seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim, neglecting this task is likewise forbidden. In a narration from Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam, someone asked him, is it permissible for people to abandon seeking knowledge of those matters that they require? In other words, the Imam's companion is asking him, is it allowed to simply leave aside seeking the information that we need in our religious affairs and responsibilities? The Imam said no. And there's a very good reason for this. That is because if we fail to seek religious knowledge, if we fail to seek ilm, that our aql would be unable to fulfill its role. And as a result of this, God's proof over us would be incomplete. And as a consequence of this, God would be unable to judge us because it would be unjust. And justice is one of the fundamental primary attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, we find in many of our lives we make excuses about seeking knowledge and the time that we put into this endeavor. Even if it's just taking a half an hour every day to read over the Rasada Amaliya of Al Marja Taqlid, or looking at one ayat of the Quran and trying to understand it every day or every week, or trying to look at one narration of the Imams in terms of akhlaq or other areas and apply this in our lives. However, it's we that will be the losers if we fail to do this. The last question that we'll deal with is seeking knowledge obligatory on everyone? And is it obligatory on us in an individual way or in the sense of seeking knowledge as a community, as a social affair? Is everyone required to seek the same degrees of religious knowledge beyond the daily operations of our salat and other things like this, fasting, our zakat? A man once came to Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam and said, may I be your ransom, there is a man who knows of your affair, and here your affair means your imamat, your walayat. He knows of your right. But he sticks to his house, and he's not acquainted himself with any of his brothers in faith, that is in Shi'ism, in Tashayyu, in Islam. The Imam said, then how can he acquire firm understanding in religion? As in, even if we have a house full of books, full of texts from the Imams, and these will illuminate our hearts and guide us towards sure guidance, like we ask for every day when we recite Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim repeatedly in our Salat, that this alone is insufficient, and for us to truly practice our faith and gain knowledge, it's something that we must gain in dialogue with our brothers and sisters in faith, and that this is how we improve and build upon the knowledge of one another. We can understand from this narration that acquiring knowledge requires social interaction and collective learning. Additionally, in terms of seeking higher levels of religious knowledge, this is not something that's obligatory upon an entire community, at least not so long as some members of that community go out and seek more advanced knowledge and return this back to the community later. At that point, the social responsibility of the community comes into play as that knowledge is shared and disseminated. This is also why we find, repeatedly in the words of our imams and in the texts of our scholars, that we are encouraged to live in urban or metropolitan areas and not scattered in the countryside or in rural areas. Not to say that if you have no other option that you can't live in the countryside, but by being in urban centers, And in highly populated areas where there is a Shia community, you will have access to scholars, and thus you will have access to the details of the religious knowledge that's transmitted to us by our blessed Imams, peace be upon them all. That's all the time we have for this episode. Inshallah, you will join us in future episodes as we discuss knowledge and the role of the religious scholar as outlined in Usul al-Kafi. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.